trying to bring you a story that is just unfolding.
We need to eliminate all uncertainty before we take any action. It's certainly not a risk analysis they apply to other areas where they take dramatic action, you know, the Iraq war being a glaring case in point.
The United States and China obviously have differences, but look at the things we have in common. We need a stable world to allow...
That's a big question.
No, we got time.
If you don't know how to fix it, stop breaking it.
If we act boldly, we can make significant progress in reversing the potential
damage. We need to take some responsibility.
Cap and trade, you think that's really the answer?
Yeah, it is.
Short and sweet.
When you start cutting your energy bill, you start giving your city opportunity.
Welcome to another edition of EcoTalk. This is where we green the red and blue states one show at a time. Another great program coming up for you. It may be a bit of an exaggeration to say that Americans' natural habitats tend to be their sofas, but with the arrival of The Green, the primetime television show on the Sundance Channel, and the already popular program Living with Ed Begley Jr.'s on HGTV, and also lots of things coming up from Discovery Channel, it's starting to look like green is arriving just in time to our television sets and our living rooms and wherever else you get your TV these days. It is time to reconnect to the joys of the world outside our windows, the wisdom of owning what's in our driveway, and the chemicals that might be in that couch they're sitting on. All that comes together in a program that is debuting this week. It is on the Sundance Channel. It's actually a block of programming called The Green, and we are very pleased to welcome to the program the president and CEO of Sundance, Larry Adam, to tell us all about this exciting development. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Betsy. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So is this the vision of one person, or how did Sundance decide to go green?
Well, it's an evolution, the decision. It's something we embarked upon about a year ago, but it really began, I would say, 2 or 3 years ago when we started to stretch the architecture of what Sundance was all about beyond the traditional brand positioning, which was independent film, into a broader appeal network for what we call independent thinkers, people looking for something different. Our overall positioning is Sundance Channel for a Change. And we have begun to, over the last few years, even before Green, put on more original programming, shows like Iconoclast, last fall's One Punk Under God, The Staircase, and a year ago, we said, you know what, let's stretch the architecture even further. This is a neck of the woods that we think is only going to get more relevant to our audience. And finally, I could have started with this, it's not incidental that we have in Robert Redford, mm-hmm. a person who has a 30-year commitment to this cause and was doing it and living it way before there was a so-called crisis and the urgency increased.
But it really is significant that we're starting to penetrate mainstream media. We are the first radio program to go Monday through Friday, and you are the first, I think. Did you beat out Discovery Channel and having regular green programming?
Oh, yeah, with all due respect to our friends at Discovery, we're about a year and a half ahead of them. We're going to be the first weekly primetime block devoted entirely to both acquired programming and original programming about the environment, and it launches, it launched last night, and it'll be on every Tuesday in primetime. Forever.
Forever. Well,
yeah,
that's how long it's going to take to solve our problems, right?
What's that? Yeah. Hope not.
I think,
as you'll see from some of the shows we're going to talk about, I think we can do it a lot sooner.
So talk about some of the specific shows. I don't think we've had a chance to really look at what you're offering.
Well, first off, the acquired programming, which has always been a big part of Sundance Channel, is primarily the films, the documentaries, the features. And I would characterize, and I'm just going to give you what I think is a fair portrait of the mix of programming. You could fairly describe lots of those documentary premieres, including last night's A Crude Awakening, a feature coming up called Waste Equals Food, Our Daily Bread, several others, as fairly sobering. There isn't a lot of up with people stuff in A Crude Awakening, and one could get very bleak if you just watched some of these films. I think one of the most important things we're trying to do is to make this destination not all doom and gloom, or we're never going to hold an audience. And the good news is there's an awful lot of positive, constructive activity taking place in this space. And our signature series as we go out of the gate is called Big Ideas for a Small Planet. And along with the film last night, we premiered the episode Where, and each of them is themed. I'm sorry, Fuel was episode one. Each of them, though, it's Big Ideas for a Small Planet, Fuel. Big Ideas for a Small Planet, Build. And each has a theme, whether it's fuel, construction, design, clothing, and they're very, very positive stories.
So, for instance, on the program about fuel, did you get into the controversy around ethanol?
Yes, there's controversy around. We don't whitewash it. We certainly, and there's both featured subjects, which, by the way, in most cases are not people we've heard about. I think one of the great things about this whole destination is the discovery aspect. You're going to meet people you've never heard about, but there are also experts, people who, at least within the environmental community, are probably better known, people like Lori David, who are talking about and reflecting on what's happening in each topic. But, you know, in addition to the ethanol focus, there's a guy featured, this lovely guy named Wolf, who is a guy who rejiggers cars that he sort of came up one day with the recollection that the original diesel engine was made to run on peanut oil. And he said, well, Jesus, why couldn't I just go out and rewire diesel engines to run on any kind of vegetable oil? And so he is now re-engineered, I think it's 3,000 vehicles, and it's a hoot. I mean, he basically, you can either buy a bottle of vegetable oil at a store, a Costco, or in one episode, he actually deep fries a bunch of chicken, takes the oil out from beneath it, pours it into the engine, and goes driving off. And I've ridden in that car with him. The one I rode in was a big SUV.
And it's
big
smooth.
SUV.
Works fine?
Works fine. Absolutely no negative offset, none of the horrible fossil fuel damage. The only mild negative is the aroma of fast food, which his mother first noted when he gave her a ride. Honey, doesn't it smell like we're in a McDonald's? But other than that, it's really not an issue when you're in the car. It's when you get out. It is it's really quite something.
I'm glad you're profiling the unsung eco heroes out there. That's what we've been doing here on this program for 3 years. And there's so many folks out there. You know, there's a lot of green issues in magazines, mainstream magazines this month, which is terrific. But and nothing against Lori David or Bobby Kennedy Jr., but there are a lot of people out there who are doing great work and have been long before this was trendy, most of them underpaid or unpaid in some cases, and they really deserve the spotlight, and that's been my passion and what's fueled my desire to do this program, because they're engaging not in what might be future solutions, but already are, and they're creating them.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I think, you know, we've never been a channel that was about overly concerned with style. I mean, we do have a great look and feel, but we are much more about going to where the real credibility factor is. And in this space, pursuant to what you just said, there are a couple of people, including Redford, who is on the air probably now more than he ever has been in our 11-year history, and Simran Sethi, who you and I talked about earlier, as well as Majora Carter. There are a couple of people who I would describe as navigators, hosts to sort of acquaint the viewer with these unsung heroes, but a lot of the folks on the channel that you're going to see are former bloggers or current bloggers, people who have enormous credibility in the space, who really know what they're talking about, and are there because of that, not because they're, quote, you know, good-looking hipsters. It is terrific.
Well, that's the trend. Yeah.
Discovery is what we've always been about, whether it was discovering an independent film or a documentary, or in this case, I think people doing really interesting things.
How political will the Green Bloc programming get?
Well, it's a good question. You know, politics, I suppose you could argue, enters into everything. I think the one point I would make about this whole issue, which certainly made it a nice one to devote this kind of resource to and to make this investment, is there's not too many people you come across who are against the environment, who are anti-green. And I think you noted this earlier, but there is we've crossed this tipping point, and I work for a guy in Redford who typically sees things well in advance of others. He certainly saw independent film before it became a gigantic business. He saw the need to go beyond the Park City Festival and created the channel. And he was talking actively about the green well before we did it. And I think, the tipping point occurred, I would say, before our launch. This is certainly now very much in the pop culture, but I think we're also at the very beginning in terms of people, you know, we are competing with in both television and online, but this is a true multi-platform play for us. And Sundance is the green, Robert Redford's the green, is going to be everywhere our viewers and subscribers are.
I assume Robert Redford is not supplying all the greenbacks for this venture. When we come back, we'll find out who your advertisers will be, if that is your format and your template. We're speaking with Larry Adam. He's the president and CEO of the Sundance Channel, and also talking about, in particular, the new green block of programming that's debuting this week. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to EcoTalk on the Air America Radio Network. Find us online at ecotalk.net.